Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
He's Garrett Price.
How's it going?
Over there in no man's land is Jared Wackerly, our producer and co-host.
Well, hello.
Yes.
That was a whack-tastic hello.
Number one YouTube comment is, why don't you ever show Jared on camera?
He's hideous.
He is hideous.
I did think about getting just like a, just put my camera right here.
Just a little, dash.
My phone camera. Yeah, yeah.
You should put one that's like obnoxiously close to your face.
We have GoPros.
Straight up nose.
Have it hanging down.
We have
down
so
right
many
here.
Cameras in here.
Plop one right here, man.
We brought a whole bunch of GoPros originally.
You can get the Albert Bell in the background.
Oh, we could. I mean, just put it right here. Boop.
Oh, you know, with the redecorate over there too?
No, just get the Albert Bell behind you and the Joe Montana.
Albert Bell, second favorite Indian of all time, right behind Jose Ramirez.
Man.
So today we are doing our last episode of Rookie Wide Receivers. The most receivers we've ever covered.
Man.
It's exciting.
It's a lot.
These next two episodes, these next 12 guys we're going to talk about, very exciting. Some very good prospects
in here.
You
can see why we needed to do this. Like, oh, 100%. It's very obvious why we had to do so many.
Once we got to this episode, yes. No, just kidding.
Week one was a little bit of a letdown. Yeah. That's fair.
Week one, you're like, oh my gosh, 6 weeks. Wow.
And then these past two have been a lot more filled
they,
with
they really time. Have.
So we're going to cover the next 12 guys here. Then we're going to do a Nerd Herd show of guys that are kind of like, on the bubble there that we didn't talk about, guys like Tyrone Tracy, running back out of Purdue, somebody who I liked his tape for. We're going to break those guys down there. And then, of course, next week is leading right up to the NFL draft. Like we've almost made it. I've got all my rookie drafts that start that Monday, which I'm excited about. But so coming into the NFL draft, now that we're doing all these rankings, we're going to slam you with some content. So come on here and get slammed by all four of us. Some call those different words, different kind of parties. Bring out your O face.
Thank you.
Easy.
And,
that's why he's off camera.
So next week we are going to do our tight end breakdowns on the Nerd Herd feed only. So it's going to be for the subscribers. Join the Nerd Herd only. It's a great place to be. Let me go ahead and turn this Nerd Herd light here. It's not Nerd Herd light. It's Nerd Herd's light. So, but we will put out our Brock Bauer segment on YouTube, and we will put it out on X and Twitter and any else where you can get it. We'll put out a Brock Bauer's
profile. X and Twitter.
Whatever happened to that underdog light?
It's still over here in the packaging.
Thanks, underdog.
Here we go.
Love our partner Underdog. Check out this sweet neon sign they sent us 8 months ago. It's right next to behind me the whole time. So
Rich is just that good at hanging.
Right next to behind him.
I'm not a really good decorator,
as you can see. Only a couple weeks left to get that free year.
Only a couple more weeks left to get that free year of Nerd Herd. Yeah, I'm talking about that Brock Bauer's episode. You want to jump on there. So we're going to do that as a Nerd Herd episode. We'll make sure we get the Brock Bauer's take out there. Spoiler alert, he's one of the best tight ends you're ever going to see on tape.
Spoiler alert, he's the top tight end in this draft.
Wait, what?
Spoiler alert, he might be better than Kincaid. Spoiler alert.
Cade Stover's in this class.
How dare I?
He's pretty solid, actually. Stover's pretty safe. So, and then before the NFL draft, we're going to do an overall ADP rankings, not ADP, our own average combined
average
rank.
Average combined.
Average rank draft position.
That's it. I love that.
ARDP.
Put that in the app.
ARDP. We're going to put that right on the app. That's coming up. Coming to an app near you.
App near you.
DP?
ARDP?
Slow down.
Gross. You guys are gross. No wonder he's off camera. It's a far away to reach, though. Good for you, big guy. So we're going to do overall.
You're talking too fast, man.
We're going to do our overall rankings.
Still stuck on DP.
Combined. Average. So we'll take all of our rankings, put them in an Excel sheet, and see what our average is. Talk about who's highest, who's lowest on a certain player, maybe why they're at that point. And then on the very next show, that will be the day of the NFL draft, which should be a national holiday in my own personal reality. We are going to do a mock draft, which will be followed up immediately that Monday. We'll have our podcast out early because we record our podcast in New York on Sunday night or Sunday morning. We'll have the podcast out early. We'll do a post NFL mock draft.
So it'll be pre and post NFL mock draft.
That's gonna be long. That's gonna be two episodes because we're gonna do a really long a three round.
We just figured all this out. Probably. You were there.
I know.
it's a lot to follow.
It is a lot.
Yeah. If you want, go back, play that at half speed.
Just refresh your app.
Yeah,
if there's a new show there. There's a new show there.
We have a lot of shows coming out.
We just had a bonus one come out yesterday.
Yep.
DPE. Episodes. I mean, you gotta throw the episodes at the end there.
Yes, episodes.
Draft position.
I mean, CSA, I had a whole bunch of things going on. Draft position?
Yeah.
What kind of clean-minded guy are you?
Average draft about. Position episode.
It does make sense. It does make sense.
Is that a BDP?
I don't know.
All right. The top receiver we're talking about today is...
I'm just talking bonus. I don't know what you guys were thinking about, but anyway.
You said top first.
What, your bottom?
Top, well, first.
All right, anyway.
In order.
So are we ready? Are we ready to start talking about receivers?
We're never ready.
All right, I'm just going to go.
I've been pretty ready since this conversation started.
All right, first up this week, Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State, 6'3¼" tall height. Gosh, I'm all thrown off.
Your flow is immaculate.
Yes.
Quick, now give me his length.
No, he's 6'3" and a quarter.
His girth.
213 pounds.
There it is.
9 3/8 inch hands, 32 1/8 inch arms, 78 1/8 inch wingspan. He's 20 years old. He will be 21 in May. In the 40, he ran a 4.61. He had a 1.54 10-yard split. In the broad jump, he had 127 inches, 38-inch vertical last year. In 12 games, he had 50 receptions, 658 yards receiving, and 11 touchdowns, and just a rush attempt for 2 yards on top of that.
Yeah, so there's the number one thing you're going to see about Keon Coleman that you're not going to love is that 40-yard dash time of 4.61. I will say it looks like he played faster on tape. And you kind of saw some of that at the combine, too. I mean, his 10-yard split at 1.54, that's fantastic.
That's really good, yeah.
His gauntlet was really good, and gauntlet's really good at showing you what? Play speed.
His catching gauntlet the football. Was really good.
Yeah.
He looked the best in the gauntlet.
I thought Ladd McConkey's was. But
yeah, he looked good, too.
But, yeah, I thought Keon Coleman and Ladd McConkey had the best gauntlet. So that shows you the 10-yard split and the gauntlet kind of shows you his play speed and showed up on tape.
I think he's fast enough. Especially at his size.
Yeah.
He's just not a twitchy guy, right?
Oh, no.
And that's kind of where I think he's limited a little bit. And that's, I think he doesn't have that top gear either. You know what I mean? So that's where that 4.61 comes from. Because I think he moves well for that size.
Yeah, he's a big kid. Mm-hmm. Keon Coleman, they said a kid because he's young. He's not even able to legally drink as we speak right now.
It's true.
But when you watch his tape, I mean, I came away with Keon Coleman's tape a little bit more... like pleasantly surprised than I thought I would be because
you almost said happy.
Yeah.
pleasantly a little surprised. Bit yep. more happy.
Mm-hmm. The in my head, it sounded stupid. So, which says a lot. So, so for me,
if Rich catches something on his filter between his brain and his mouth,
that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty shocking. Nonetheless. Uh-huh. So for me, I was like, everybody's been doo-dooing someone on Keon Coleman's like fallen by the wayside.
He really
is. By this plethora of talented receivers we have to talk about. Like he's somebody that was at the beginning of the year considered like a first round pick. He was like pretty much in Romo Dunze slot for the most part.
He was, it was like, okay, Marvin Harrison's one. Could Keon Coleman be two?
Yeah, for real.
Especially after week one.
So Bonanza. You know, this is a former basketball player, played basketball in high school, actually played basketball his first year at college as well. Am I thinking of...
I don't know that story.
He played basketball at Michigan State.
I was nodding along. Michigan State. But I was going to say baseball. He was Michigan State, basketball. So that basketball, would make sense.
Yeah. He only played like 6 games, but he played at Michigan State, which is pretty impressive.
Played for Tom Izzo.
And it shows. I mean, because like when he goes up and gets the football, like... Yeah.
He's got great ball skills.
Dude, his ball skills are fantastic.
I mean,
ball
skills. Fantastic catches. And just, Caillou, come on, man.
No, we kept doing that on the Talking Dynasty show.
Oh, all right. Apparently, I really enunciated ball skills.
Ball skills.
And he hasn't let it go.
Well, he was like, he number just one laughing. Thing I look for is ball skills.
Ball skills. Well, he has fantastic hands, and he will make highlight reel catches. So
dude,
I would imagine that Garrett loves his ball skills, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he goes up and he gets the football, right? Like, he's always coming down with it. He's able to box out the defensive back extremely well. His frame, the ball is never outside his frame, essentially.
Huge
so
catch radius.
His catch radius is big, and you can just go ahead and toss it up. And I like that he uses, like, where he's not overly, like, elusive for the separation there. he uses his hands pretty well at times to force that separation, either at on the release, and when he gets to the top of his route as well. Yeah. I thought it was pretty impressive there. I like that. He actually uses his size pretty well, where we constantly find these receivers that are this of his caliber size, and they don't even use their strength to benefit them. Keon Coleman does do that.
He's definitely a big physical guy. You know, I think if he works on his routes a bit, I think he's a little bit limited there. You know,
very limited.
Yeah.
I feel like he only ran three routes there.
Was it? Let me see. Hold on. Where do I have him here? Go route, hitch, one of them. And then a screen pass.
Screens and curls. Yeah. Okay. So screen, curl, yep. Hitch. Same thing. That's all he ran. That's like,
yeah.
And I assume it's more of a Florida State thing is what they really wanted to do there. I'm hoping, because I mean, he was fine there. He definitely needs to fine tune his route running for sure. I like to see, like, because of the way, like, his acceleration's not overly quick.
Yeah.
So, like, I just hope that he'll be able to separate at, you know, the next level. Because the problem is the biggest con Keon Coleman is he had a hard time separating in college. Yes, hence, correct. Why of all the jump balls in the first place? That doesn't get easier in the NFL. So the reason Keon Coleman probably has fallen down so much is that's his number one flaw, right? Like being able to get into his like stem, getting his route real quick, and then define separation. Like he has a hard time doing that.
To me, Keon Coleman feels like he's a Cortland Sutton type of guy to me, right?
I like that comment.
Big, can't really separate all that well. He has a little bit of George Pickens in the fact that he can make some fantastic catches and kind of go up and get over top of guys. And Cortland Sutton has that as well. So he's a little bit of a mix of those two guys in my brain, but not quite as dynamic as George Pickens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I see him. So I think he has a spot in the NFL. I think it's going to be hard to rely on him unless he gets into the perfect situation with a quarterback that's just willing to throw it up to him, to rely on him from a fantasy football standpoint, week in and week out.
So for me, he ended up with a 72.05 on the nerd score for me, which means he crossed that 72 threshold, which is basically under that. It's very, very spotty. And then if you're under like a 68 or so, it's like there's almost zero chance. So he hit that threshold where there is a possibility of him being able to make something happen, but he feels like one of the more play spot dependent. I think you were saying something similar.
Yep.
But not as much in the sense of like, yes, I think quarterback plays into it, but it's specifically for me, where do they want him to play? If this is a team looking for him as an X receiver, I'm out. Because I don't think his releases are solid enough. I don't think he has enough speed. I don't think his route running is good enough. I think legitimate corners will shut him down all day. However, if you're looking for a big slot, I think he would be an excellent guy for that type of role where he can body up, catch passes over the middle because he has really good hands, and just play that physical dominant, let's move the chains, let's make things happen. Like I think that's where he would really thrive in that big slot type of role. So that's what I want to see him play at the next level. But you never know where coaches are drafting these guys for, where they're going to fit. Some guys are just hand in glove, it's a perfect fit. Other guys, it's terrible. So that's going to be a big thing for me. He was also a good candidate to remember why we don't just watch highlights and or a game. Because if you just watch his highlights and then and or just watched his LSU game, yeah. Like he's going in the Malik Nabers for us, Adonai Mitchell. Like he's going up there with those guys.
LSU, Syracuse were two really good
guys. Oh my gosh, you were bonkers. But that's why you need to watch several games to see, okay, I'm seeing the good things he can do. Are there deficiencies in this game? And those things showed up a lot more the more tape you watched.
And the first game I watched was the LSU game.
So you were up here, baby.
And then the last game I watched was the Syracuse game.
Okay, so you bookended it.
Nicely. I bookended it. And in between, yeah, like a lot of pros came out in
compliment there. Sandwich right there.
And dude, honestly, the LSU game, he could have had a much better game. A couple balls were off. A couple balls got bounced. He could have had like, I think he had over 100 yards, like six catches for like 120 something like that.
Maybe, what, two touchdowns or three touchdowns or something like that?
LSU was 9 for 122 and three touchdowns.
Yeah. So he had a couple nice touchdowns.
That was like one of the earlier games in the year, right?
I think that was the first game of the year.
Thursday night or something.
Yeah. That's why he was such a hot name that first
number
week.
One.
That's
number
the first game I watched. Yep. And then, and honestly, like he had 9 for 134. That could have been like easily 11 for 175, like easily.
I was so pumped. I put out a tweet like going into the college football season that he was like my under the radar guy.
Yeah.
And then week one, he just freaking goes off. I quote tweeted that really quick.
Yeah, you did, as you should.
Freezing cold takes.
Victory lap, baby.
So all in all, like I did come away more pleasantly happy.
Pleasantly happy.
I had to throw it in there for you. I'm Keon Coleman, like where I agree, like he would thrive in the slot, and I want to see him go to a system that he could be utilized. I'd like to see him on a team, preferably doesn't have like a tight end that's heavily involved mm-hmm. in the market. And like I said, I love him in the middle there. But I love him on the sideline as well. He's just able to go get the football. And like you're right, the right quarterback, the right system, where does he fit? He's one of those players for me, like I'm really excited for next Thursday to see where he gets drafted. What kind of draft capital is he going to get used on? Because that's going to tell me something. Now, you see a lot of those guys even going to second round, guys like the Alec Pierces and whatnot that sure. people want to use and try and like turn into something that they never turn into what you want him to be. And Keon Coleman could do that, but I'd love to see what he ends up being surrounded by.
Who was the guy that
could tell us a lot?
Iowa State, really tall wide receiver.
Hakeem Butler.
Ugh.
I'm not using this as a comp, but a dude that washed out of the NFL pretty quickly, right?
He didn't get drafted, did he?
He was fourth round draft pick.
And we were talking about him being a first round pick. We were the Browns drafted him in the first round.
Ugh. Keon Coleman, in my opinion, if he doesn't tighten up some things or if he doesn't land in the situation that kind of highlights it, he could be a guy that washes out in the league. So that's kind of as polarizing as I see him. I see him in this Cortland Sutton role. If everything goes perfect, he improves on some routes, stuff like that. But if he does not improve on anything, if he's in the wrong situation, he'll just wash out of the league. Like it's that polarizing in my opinion.
Problem with Butler, he just couldn't catch. He couldn't catch football with Keon Coleman.
Ball skills.
Yeah.
Coleman's ball skills
are way better. Coleman's got ball skills. But if you can't separate, you're never going to get the ball thrown at you.
Yeah.
If you don't have the right situation, the right quarterback.
I think Coleman has a ton of upside. He graded as a 73.5 for me, and he's super young, so there's plenty of time for him to develop. Obviously, he was focused on both basketball and football, even going into college where he played both at Michigan State. And everything that I've read and all the interviews that I've heard of like his coaches is they can't speak highly enough of this guy. Like he's always first one in, last one out type of guy, always putting in the work. And I love hearing those type of things. But I agree with you guys. He definitely has some like separation concerns. I had his burst and his route running pretty low and his quickness pretty low, but I thought his top end speed was good enough. Yeah, I mean, Keon Coleman, I like the Cortland Sutton comp. He graded really closely to Michael Pittman for me. I thought Michael Pittman was a little better route runner, though. I like Coleman quite a bit.
Yeah, so I think Jared and I are a little higher than Garrett and Matt, and that's fine for Keon Coleman.
For the record, I had a 71.45. Okay. So I'm not that far off of you.
Yeah. I think both of you might be a hair higher than...
I think he has to be a number two on an offense. Like he needs a guy on the other side. He can't be the guy.
No. And I feel like Cortland Sutton kind of has proven that he shouldn't be the guy either. You know what I mean? Like he needs somebody else compliment him. So I do like that.
Good red zone guy.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely like one of the best true jump ball guys in this draft.
Yeah. Him, Jalen Polk, Roma Dunze, and
Jalen Polk. Speaking of Jalen Polk, did you see the mock draft today?
For Schrager
and Mitchell.
Schrager had him at pick 32 to the Chiefs.
Jalen Polk.
Now, it did get a lot of chuckles.
I hope so.
But I mean, Schrager, for what it's worth, he's a pretty sharp guy.
He's tied in. Like, he can make phone calls. So he's hearing something. But that sounds like...
That sounds really high to me. But
hey, man.
He does one thing really well.
GMs in the NFL make bad decisions all the time.
It's true.
All the time.
All the time. So, I mean, I wouldn't be... I mean, sure. Could it happen? Sure, I mean,
it's the same thing that I wouldn't
in a million friggin' years do that, but who knows? Whatever.
Hey, Dynasty nerds, it's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, best ball, super flex, triflex, one QB, and standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
All right, moving on. Next guy, Roman Wilson, wide receiver, Michigan, 5'10¾", 185 pounds, 9 3/8 inch hands, 30 3/8 inch arms, 72.5 inch wingspan. He is 22. He'll be 23 in June. In the 40, he ran a 4.39. He had a 1.52 10-yard split, 12 bench press reps. He didn't do any of the other shuttles or anything like that, or vertical and broad jumps. Last year in 15 games at Michigan, he had 48 receptions, 789 yards, 12 touchdowns, one rush attempt for 10 yards.
Roman Wilson, a guy that played mostly from the tape I watched, he was out of the slot quite a bit.
70%.
Okay, that sounds about right, because almost everything I saw, he was primarily out of the slot. Sometimes they would split him out wide, but mostly out of the slot. He was a key target for this team this year. Obviously, it was a team that didn't throw the ball a ton, and that was one of the things that made his tape tricky at times.
Yeah.
Is his games would be pretty short.
Like those, man.
They're fun.
Yeah.
You know, because like for you watch purposes? Ricky Pearsall later, like yeah. These are like 10, 11 minute games, and you watch his, you're like, that was 3 minutes.
Every Ricky Pearsall game was 10 minutes.
It was pretty nuts. So that was one of the trickiest parts in watching some of his tape was there's so few targets to evaluate him. But all of that being said, when he did get targeted, I liked most of what I saw. I think he's a really smooth route runner.
Yep.
His hands are very solid. He doesn't have like a huge catch radius, not this amazing like contested catch guy, but I don't think it's a huge deficiency either. He gets in and out of his routes well. He has got good game speed. His quickness is really solid. It was somebody that is a pretty well-polished player, a pretty well-polished receiver, which is different than what we had been seeing from a lot of the Michigan wide receivers for a while. You know, you think of Donovan Peoples-Jones, you think of Nico Collins, a lot of these guys that we had been seeing coming out that were good players that we liked, but
lack the refinement.
They lack the refinement. I feel like he's a lot different than a lot of those guys, where he does look like he has a lot of that nuance.
He's polished.
That a lot of those other guys didn't have. And so for me, he came in with a 72.35. Which was good for wide receiver 12 in this class for me.
Where were you at? I'm sorry,
72.35 for him.
I have a little bit higher, 73.
I was 72.33.
So. Oh, were you really?
Well, guess what his nerd score is.
Yep, you can figure that out real quick. But yeah, it was a very enjoyable watch. There was nothing in his tape that made me go, wow. But there was nothing in his tape that made me disappointed either. It was just, I was very whelmed the whole time.
Yep.
And I was good.
Wellman's a good word to use. Yeah, I have him as my wide receiver 13.
Okay, we're one spot apart.
Yeah, and I feel like there's somebody I should have ahead of him anyways. But I agree. I kind of agree. Like, I feel like I definitely feel like he's not a bad route runner, so I don't want to say that. But I wouldn't necessarily call him, like, a really good route runner.
I have a 7, so yeah, he's above average.
I give him average.
Yeah, I thought he was just, like, an average route runner. Like, nothing really stood out to me. Like he understood the route concept and ran it, but like I thought it could be significantly better sometimes.
Off your point, because I gave him a 7, which is a slightly above average mark. I thought his routes overall, I could have given a higher mark to, but I did have concerns in some zone coverages where he seemed like he would get a little bit lost at times and kind of almost running into defenders, not always knowing where his guy was. So that was my bigger concern, was he seemed better against man coverage than zone coverage, which it's usually opposite. But
And that's where I kind of came with like Roman, like when I watched sometimes, I was like, man, is he somebody like you used the word smooth? Like, is he just really fast and so smooth? Like, it makes it look like he's a better receiver than he really. And that's because I know it sounds weird saying it because I don't think he's a bad receiver in the least bit. But like when I have my 13, it's kind of like when you said like I'm whelmed, I'm like, yeah, he's just like one of those. Like, I've seen so many Roman Wilsons in the NFL and none of them like turn into be like really good receivers. Now, if he did because he's so smooth and he's got the speed, like at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised. But a lot of these guys end up just being like a good guy in the Browns would mention, like, I know this sounds, he just retired today, would be like Rashard Higgins, right? Like somebody come in there.
Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood. Like, they come in there, they got good speed, they could know how to run a route, they're not great at it. They can make some plays, enough plays to get you excited where you like the player too, but like from a fantasy football perspective, they never, like, they're a really good wide receiver for a team. When somebody goes down, they get their playing time, you're excited about them, but like nobody you're ever going to see as like a star and a week in, week out starter. And that, again, I know it sounds like a diss because I like the player, but that's just kind of how I came away about Roman. Like, I think that's right. I'd just rather go like there's so many more upside guys in here that I feel like in the right situation, I'd be excited. Now, I'm sure after his draft capital go, because I'm sure Roman Wilson's kind of guy to probably go in the second round, I might be more excited in his landing spot, but we'll see.
It's funny because he actually reminds me a lot of another player in this class that we're going to get to. I just liked the other player a lot more. But we'll get,
we haven't talked to him yet. Yeah, I mean, let me put it this way. Like, if Roman Wilson, like, the Cardinals went Marvin Harrison Jr. and then went another receiver, right? Like,
in, like, the third.
And a third, right? Yeah. And it took Roman, like, say he fell to high third, Roman Wilson went a third. I'd be way more excited with Kyler Murray and Roman Wilson as the number two and then Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison. Then I'd be more excited.
And Michael Wilson. That would be a good trio.
That would.
You got Wilson on one side, Harrison, and then Roman, him in the slot.
Yeah. Like, I would like him there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, but then if you put him against some other teams, I might not like.
What if he goes?
The Browns.
No, what if he goes to the Chargers? What if, you know.
Excited. Yeah. Way more excited. One, he's with Harbaugh, you know, two. And two, with Herbert and the targets. Like, that's the thing. If Roman Wilson's in line to just be, like, just automatically put into the starting lineup and he's, like, at least a number two somewhere, like,
I think that's more excited. Like,
he's a slot receiver.
He's a slot guy. I think he could play the Z. I think he's fast enough to do that, and I think he has the movement skills to do that. So if he lands in a good spot, I think he could be like a wide receiver three. That's how I see this guy. I don't see him, you know, if everything's perfect, maybe he's a wide receiver two and he's getting peppered with targets. That's the only way that he could finish as a wide receiver two. Lives in that range for me. So, I mean, you know, you guys have said most of the same stuff that I've already got. I did see him do some good things in zone as well. So, I mean, I saw him kind of gear down and slow down and sit down in some of those spots. Maybe I missed the times that you were talking about. Maybe you missed the times that I'm talking. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of that stuff going on. But I think he's got really good hands. He's not a contested catch guy. He's a feet on the ground guy. He's never going to be leaping to make a bunch of catches or anything like that. So there isn't a lot of upside. He's not a big run after the catch guy either.
Doesn't break any tackles.
Right. So he is a guy that's going to need to separate. He's going to be, you know, making catches in the intermediate zone. He's going to have to catch a lot of balls to be fantasy relevant. That's just the way it is. Unfortunately, it's hard because there were so few targets. You know, I mean, you look at a guy like Keon Coleman, I think he had, last year he had, where the heck is it? I was looking at it earlier and I lost it. It's in your stat sheet
next to targets.
Oh, is that where it's at?
High alphabetical order.
Yeah, no, he had 87 targets. He caught 50 of them for, you know, 650 yards. This guy had only, had 50 targets or something like that and did the most with them, you know, or he had 67 targets. He caught 48 of them and had more yards, more touchdowns than a guy like, you know, so the guy can get open in small spaces. He can do some things. And I mean, overall, I like him. I think I had him a 73 or something, 73 point.
Very fine receiver.
4 or 5.
Okay. It's about a point ahead of me.
About a point ahead of you. Yeah. So I like him. I think there's a spot for him. I think he could be a wide receiver three. I don't see a lot of upside for him to ever be a high end wide receiver two or even coming close to wide receiver one numbers. But, you know, you're going to have to fill your roster out with somebody. This guy, I think you could do worse than him in like the second round of our rookie draft.
I just want to see where he ends up going.
Yeah.
Like, with this draft, this receiver class, like, I was telling you guys before the show started, like, I never had such a tough time, like, putting these guys in order how I liked them. Because, like, I feel like this is a bit, and I just put out on Twitter my pre-draft rankings. So mine are on Twitter right now at Dynasty Rich. But, like, I have those ranked in tiers right now on Twitter. And it's like, you're literally splitting the most micro hairs possible. Like, Brian Thomas and Adonai Mitchell to me. Like, they're like, like, okay, whose spot do I like better?
Mitchell,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're that close.
You want to take Mitchell there.
So for me, like, I got guys like Anthony Gould.
Whoa, what?
So I have Roman Wilson at 10, but the guys between 9 and 13, or I think 14,
or like 10 and 7,
are guys that I'm all going to have to watch back to back to back to back to kind of figure out who I'm going to place where, because they're that close that I could, you know, depending on where, what, how big they are, how, sure, you know, yeah, what a kind of upside I
pick, your
see
flavor.
In, yeah, exactly. Is how I'm going to end up ranking those guys.
Jerry, you got anything you want to time in on?
I saw Roman Wilson similarly to you guys. One thing I wanted to say is, like, I think he might end up being a better pro receiver than he was in college, just because he was at Michigan, and just watching his tape, it made it really tough to eval. Like, I had to watch a lot more games of Roman Wilson than I would other receivers in this range. I thought he had really good ball skills when given the opportunity. Like, he is able to go up, contort his body, make a catch, acrobatic catch away from his body when given the opportunity, even though they were few. And you can just tell by the way that he moves, like, he's a really sound athlete, really polished, has really good body control. He was actually on Bruce Feldman. He puts out like a freaks list for college football players going into the year. And he was on Bruce Feldman's freaks list, where he ran a 6.2 three cone and 3.77 shuttle. Now, obviously, he did those same exact drills in the combine, and he scored really, really good. 6.2? Not at the combine. That was in Michigan's testing. Yeah. That was in his freaks list going into the year. But he is 6.75 three cone.
You know, the same times are a little different.
Oh, 6.75.
That was for the combine. Yeah, I was talking about. Okay. So
got it.
The freaks list goes out prior to the college football season. It's not from the combine.
Got it.
But yeah, he had a 6.75 three cone 3.99 shuttle. Matt, you already said that earlier, but. So, super agile player, really tough. Like, I think he's a good blocker, which in itself has value and will get you on the field in the slot receiver position. Like, he's going to do all the things you ask him to do on top of being a really good athlete at the positions. I would love the Browns. Like, you said the Browns draft him. I would, like, we need a receiver like that. I would love that they
It was funny you mentioned that, because I had a hard time with his physicality, because I don't think he played super physical as a receiver, but he was more than willing to play physical as a blocker. So that was that. I had a hard time with that. Where to put his physicality because of that?
Yeah, he's maybe like 12th ranked receiver as far as tape score goes.
And I love how, like, you talked him up big time, and I kind of like dude on him, even though I studied like him. I have him as wide receiver 13. You have him as wide receiver 12.
And it just would depend on landing spot. Like, where do I think he's going to have opportunity?
Yeah.
And if not, then he's going to move.
And that's what I was saying. It's like, I don't want to sound like I'm bad, but I'd rather sit here and talk about that.
Yeah.
For my own personal reasons.
All right.
Nerds, listen up. This is your last chance to take advantage of our free year offer through our promotion with Underdog Fantasy. Deposit at least $10 with Underdog using a promo code NERDS and receive a free one-year membership to Nerd Herd and the Dynasty GM bundle subscription to Dynasty Nerds. So you get everything we've always been talking about for a $10 deposit on Underdog using that promo code NERDS. This offer closes on April 30th, so don't miss out. We are almost through all our rookie breakdowns, and right now you can take advantage of these insights by drafting best ball teams, including this 2024 rookie class. Draft your team and don't worry about setting a lineup, making trades, or paying attention to the waiver wire. Use your leg up on these rookies against your competition. Remember, deposit at least $10 at Underdog using a promo code NERDS, and you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100 and a one-year free Dynasty GM and Nerd Herd bundle membership. Hurry up. This offer closes on April 30th. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus in Alabama, Nebraska, 21 plus in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE. New York and Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is, the Mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty GM, you use the analyzer, you can use the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And Right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than the predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you can get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and have a good time. You know, have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate set. All right, next up, Jacob Cowing, Arizona wide receiver, 5'8" 3/8", 168 pounds, 9-inch hands, 29.25-inch arms, 69.125-inch wingspan. He is 23 years old. He just turned 23 in February. He ran a 4.38 in the 40 at a 1.54 10-yard split, a 20-yard shuttle of 4.32 seconds, a 7.02 three-cone, 119-inch broad jump, 36-inch vertical. Last year in 13 games at Arizona, he had 90 catches, 848 yards receiving, 13 touchdowns, 5 rush attempts for 26 yards.
Yeah, so out of Arizona here, Jacob Cowan. There's some things to like about Jacob Cowan here.
Sure.
You know, let's start there. You mentioned he's a little bit older. He played at Arizona and UTEP and produced at all those schools as well. Obviously, at Arizona, he was more involved. I really like... My favorite thing about Jacob Cowan is his short area quickness. Like I really lateral like
agility.
Yeah,
for sure.
I like him there. Like I like this is kind of player. Like, dude, it's 4th and 1. We're at the 1 yard line. We're gonna throw the football. Like this is the kind of guy you want to throw the football.
I was surprised his 3-cone wasn't better because of that.
I agree.
I thought it was gonna be a much better time when I saw that.
So I like him there. I thought he did a pretty good job there every time. All his like short area burst, I thought was pretty good. I thought he tracked the ball well at when he was getting an opportunity. I saw him make a nice over the shoulder catch, which I thought was pretty solid there. Obviously, his 40 time tells you he's pretty fast. He's not overly explosive, but he's fast.
Hands,
what's up?
Hands. What do you think about this guy's hands?
I don't love him. I saw.
This was a weird eval.
He caught a lot of body catches.
I didn't think they were bad.
I don't think they're bad, but if you have more body catches than I want, I'm going to say your hands aren't as good.
So he was an odd eval because the first two games I watched, he almost exclusively body caught almost the entire time. I'm like, this guy can't catch. I had like the lowest score on hands, like a 4 or something. I was like, this is ridiculous. But then the next two games, it was later on in the season, UCLA and Oklahoma, I saw almost exclusively him catching away from his body. I was like, so he can do it. I don't know what the heck was going on in those two games early on in the season. So that was a tough eval. I just wanted to see if you guys kind of saw the same thing with him.
That's what I said. Like you said, his hands are decent. Like I'm not complaining about him dropping the football. It just, there's a lot of body catches in there at time too. And that always tells me like Matt said, like, oh, your hands are kind of like, what's going on in your hands?
You can always tell when someone's like natural at catching the ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think they're okay, but that's a concern. I mean, the biggest problem with him is his size, right? He's 5'8". He's fast, but he doesn't get good separation that very much. And so if somebody's on him, like you, same thing. You just press this guy and he's done for. Like it doesn't matter. He's super fast, but if you press him, like you're on top of him.
He's a slot receiver. He was a 73% slot last year. And I mean, that's how you get a guy like this open. Yep. You leave him in the slot, you motion him around, you move him all over the place. That's what he's going to be. He's a little bit of a gadgety guy due to his size.
He has a hard time when anybody's on him. Like when he has a body on him, like he has a hard time with the football. So it's weird because like I didn't hate Jacob Cowan and I didn't love him. But like he's kind of, I'll throw a dart throw on at the end of my rookie draft.
No, I think he can separate, like you said, when a guy doesn't have his hands on him, I think he can separate because he's lateral, he's quick, he can do all that kind of stuff.
Well, Andrew Hawkins.
Yeah, and you know, once he gets the ball in his hands, he can do some nice things after the catch and stuff like that. So there are definitely some redeeming qualities. I do think he's got some limitations, and it's just going to be mostly due to his size. The other biggest question mark I had about the guy, other than his size, were his hands, and I think we kind of hashed that out already. So, you know, I don't think that he's going to be a huge fantasy producer unless he lands into the perfect situation. He falls in line with all the other guys that we've already evaluated that are good slot guys. They're really quick. Mm-hmm. They're going to need volume.
I feel like those guys were a little bit more physical, even though they were still smaller players. You know, you look at the Malik Washingtons, the Anaya Smiths, the Malachi Corleys. Like, I feel like those guys were much more physical. I feel like this guy's not going to be able to break tackles like a lot of those guys are going to be able to do. And I think that's going to be the biggest difference.
Is he faster than them, though?
I think he is a little bit faster than Corley and Smith. I don't think Washington I think they're comparable anyway.
Which Washington?
Malik.
Malik.
Yeah.
Okay. Not Taj.
Yeah. I like Malik Washington.
We're not talking about him.
I like Malik Washington tapes over Jake Cowan significantly.
Easily for me as well.
Significantly.
Malik Washington ended up kind of being the best of those guys for me. So here, Cowan, he got a 71.3. So he is below that 72 mark. Did you have a similar mark, Jared? Is that what you're doing?
What did you have?
I had like a 71.
71.35.
I had a 70.325.
Okay. So I'm a little bit higher.
You are.
He's your guy. Yeah. I don't have him above Tez, that's for sure. Yeah. So
nobody comes close.
Which is hilarious. Tez is like wide receiver.
Jared, you got anything 15. On this guy before we move on? Or
I don't have much to add on Cohen. Like, I thought he was okay. It's tough to see him being fantasy relevant for really any reason.
If you're an undersized guy, you got to be special at something, and I don't think he's special at anything.
Yeah.
But it's just he's one of those guys, when you're at the very end of your draft, you're like, oh, I'll just take him for the shot in the dark, because he is a shot in the dark. Like, he's not off my board.
Those Arizona quarterbacks, though. Whew.
They're
bad.
Mm. See a lot of bad quarterback play watching these guys.
Yes, you do.
Quinn Ewers.
Next up, Ricky Pearsall, Florida wide receiver, 6'1", 189 pounds, 9 1/4 inch hands, 30 7/8 inch arms, 73 3/8 inch wingspan. He is 23. He'll be 24 when the season kicks off. 9'9". Yep. Old man Ricky, 4.41 in the 40. He had a 1.57 in the 10-yard split. He had a 20-yard shuttle of a 4.05, 3-cone of 6.64. Which those two things are just oddly dissimilar. 129-inch broad jump, 42-inch vertical,
42-inch vertical.
42.
Gross.
70 bench press reps. 70 bench press reps. Can you believe it? 17.
This guy's amazing.
Bench press reps. This is a guy.
Dude should play defensive end.
Lunch pill guy.
Last year in 12 games, he had 65 receptions, 965 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns, 3 rush attempts, 62 yards, and an additional 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, so Ricky's a name that he's been climbing up boards.
Ricky.
You've been hearing a little bit more about him. And it's always fun to watch some of those guys, because sometimes you watch guys that are getting hyped a little bit and you're like, I don't see the hype. That's a bummer. And other times you watch a guy and you're like, oh, I get why he's being hyped. This was on the pleasant side for me. This was one of the ones where I watched the tape and I was like, I get it. I see why he's growing in popularity. I see why people are getting excited about him. He got a 73.98, so just missed, just nipping at the heels of a 74 there, which is a really, really solid score for this guy. I think he's one of the best route runners in this class. Really, really efficient with his movement. I think he's got really solid hands. His releases off the line are very solid overall. He's always in control. It doesn't seem like he's ever, sometimes you watch guys and they make so many movements and so many, but
we'll talk about a guy next show that's like that.
Yes.
But go ahead.
That they're just kind of out of control. He's never that way. He's not a true burner. He doesn't have great speed. It's adequate. I think it's adequate. I think the 4.41 is even maybe a hair faster than I would have expected based on the tape.
I mean, 4.41 is really fast.
That's what I'm saying. I think that was a hair faster than he showed on the field.
I agree with that.
He seemed like he was closer to a 4.5 to me type of play, which is still fine.
Which is still really fast.
Still, but totally fine. Yeah,
I totally understand. I was kind of shocked a little bit by the
four. Yeah, it was a little bit better of a time than I necessarily gave him credit for as a play speed versus a tapes or a timed speed. But he is still a guy that's quick in and out of his breaks. I'd like to see him be a little bit more physical. I think there's times, especially in contested catch situations, where I think he could be a little bit more physical, help him bring down a few more footballs. But overall, I mean... Like I said, he's nipping at the heels of a 74, so he's really solid overall. I have him at 9 in this class, which doesn't sound like in most classes you're like, oh, he's your wide receiver 9. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the first like 12, 13 guys are really pretty good players in this class. So
and I'm with you there. I have him, I think, at 13 or something like that. Based off my nerd score. Mm-hmm. But he's in that group of players I referenced when I was talking about Roman Wilson, yeah. That 9 through like 13, those are the guys I got to rewatch and figure out exactly what kind of order. So he could be all the way up at 9 by the time that's all done. And I wouldn't even be a little bit shocked about it. He does a lot of good things. So the one thing that I couldn't figure out and I had a hard time kind of nailing down, he's really quick, right? I feel like that's one of his strengths, but to me, he's not bursty. Mm-mm. So I couldn't, so like some movements look really good and really, really fast in his routes. And there are other things that I think there are movements that he struggles with because he's just not bursty enough to pull them off and he's not going to get separation on every single route.
Yeah. He's more sudden than he is quick. Like it is an odd, to be fair, I gave him like a 6.5 or I gave him a 6.5 for burst, but a 7.5 for quickness.
So I gave him a 6 for burst and an 8 for quickness.
Okay. So you're even a slightly further spread than
it's
me.
It's a little bit of a further spread and I couldn't quite nail it down. It was an odd watch for me just to see him. Cause I think he's a good route runner. I think he knows what he's doing, but there are times that he's running a route and he's just never going to get separation on that route because his body doesn't move the way he needs it to move to gain separation on a defensive back. So that's just like my minor concern and kind of thought on his speed when you watch him. But other than that, he's a good route runner. I got no issues with his hands whatsoever. He's a very reliable hands catcher. You know, there's not a ton there after the catch, but I think there is a little bit there. He'll occasionally create a bit, but he's generally going to get you what's there. Mm-hmm. And that's
I gave him an average score for that.
I feel like he didn't get a chance to like do much after the catch because like he was getting like there's a man on him almost every time.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that might also be the fact that he doesn't have much of that initial burst. If he's not running in stride, he's not a guy that's going to, you know, be able to catch a ball and then burst away from defensive back. He just doesn't have that one little element. So
that extra gear,
that, you know, that defensive back has time to close on it.
Yeah, his yards after the catch was one of my biggest weaknesses for him.
But he's making catches away from his body. He's got good body control. He's got all that kind of stuff that you're looking for. So another guy I can't really see as anything more than a Z or a slot receiver. He's definitely not a number one for a team. But I think he's going to do well enough, and especially if he gets in a good offense, that he'll be able to garner some targets, and he'll be able to be a wide receiver 3 with wide receiver 2 upside. That's kind of how I see him. A lot of these guys in today's show, that's kind of where I see them and the position I see them as a Z kind of as their top level.
Yeah. So for me, Ricky Pearsall, he's my wide receiver 9 overall. And
same spot.
I agree with a lot of things you guys are talking about there. I thought he also tracked the ball really well. Mm-hmm. I thought totally his hands were fantastic. I thought, you know, and you could tell, you know, being 24, like this is a kid that's really crafted his art, right? Like he's really worked on becoming a really professional wide receiver. I mean, you can tell like he shows late hands a lot too. Yeah. So, and that's, it helps. Yeah. Like he's developed his game. So like the fact that he's able to like, and the things that he's able to develop where like, you're right, Matt, where he's limited with the yards after catch, where he doesn't have that burst. Like he's the kind of player that he's such a good route runner. He's such a good technical wide receiver. Like I said, showing those lay hands, he'll be a PPR factor. I think this is a guy who's going to get second round draft pedigree. And I think with his draft pedigree, I'm kind of putting this all into my like eval too. Like, I feel like he's good enough. There's enough talk out there as well. Like, he's going to go probably go in the second round. So he'll have a spot on a roster show. And I think he's talented enough by giving it. If he's given the opportunity, he can be, like you said, almost like a week in, week out wide receiver three, which is still, that's a really good player, right? You're a top 36 fantasy receiver for multiple years.
And I think that's a great starting point too.
Yes. And I think he has the opportunity to grow into potentially he's good enough to be a wide receiver too. He's got good enough hands. He's got a really good route ability. He can win on all three different levels. Like, he can win everywhere on the field. So what I saw on there, and he showed he's got enough speed where, like, if he can get off of, if he gets enough separation, he can burn a defense. So I think he's a really good, solid player, really safe. If you're like in this draft, like, he's an older, like, poor man's Ladd McConkey. Like, he's kind of like a poor man's Ladd McConkey is how I kind of view him. Like, which is weird because, you know, I'm putting two white guys together against each other. That's what he reminded me of. It's like, oh, it's like kind of like a poor Ladd McConkey. Like, I'd much rather have Ladd McConkey by 7 margin, but, like, I'd be satisfied getting Ricky Pearce on my draft. Like, he's somebody, like, if he goes in if I can grab him in the third round of my rookie draft, like the top of the third round, I feel really good about that.
I agree. Yep.
If I get him at, like, if somebody drafts him at 2-6, I'm like, ooh, that's a little high. Like, there's some running backs out there. But, like, he's real good value, and I come away excited at 3-1, 3-2, 3-3. If somebody slips, like, 3-4, like, dude, I got Ladd McConkey, I got Jonathan Brooks, and I got probably going top 8. I got Brock Bowers, Blake Corum, and I got Ricky Pearsall. I'm like, oh, that's a good draft. You know, like those posts right after the NFL draft, you feel really good about it. And 3 years down the road, they're all one of those guys is cut.
Yeah, everybody you like compliment, like, oh, good haul. And then years later,
you're like, should I bring up my taxi squad?
Did you see all the names I posted on Twitter the other day?
Oh, yeah, you just posted a bunch of names with no context at all.
Just names.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's classic.
So I like the player. I mean, I think being wide receiver 9 in this class says a lot. So he'd be much higher in other classes. Like, obviously his age is working against him.
Right.
Besides that, for a dynasty prospect, this is definitely a guy you throw on your roster for the next 4 to 6 years and have a viable person. Like, immediately, like, oh, this guy's my wide receiver 4. Like, same thing. Like, you trade away all your draft picks because you're a championship caliber team. You get Ricky Pearsall, you're like, oh, I have somebody I can throw on my roster and feel comfortable with her. I have some depth now.
Yeah, you've bolstered your depth, for sure.
I think an NFL team's going to be able to, like, take him in the third round and feel good about that guy's going to be able to come in right away and probably produce for us or, you know, be a slot receiver or something. So
Ricky Pearsall, exciting.
Yeah. I don't have much to add. I echo what you guys said. And for me, he's right now like number 10 as far as like tape score goes. So he's my top 10.
So we're all in the same range then.
Yep, for sure. All right, next up, Jalen McMillan, wide receiver, Washington, 6'1", 197 pounds, 10-inch hands, 32 1/8-inch arms, 77 3/8-inch wingspan. He's 22. He'll be 23 in December. He had a 4.47 in the 40, a 1.53 10-yard split, a 4.18 20-yard shuttle, a 3-cone of 6.94, 127-inch broad jump, 37-inch vertical. Last year in 11 games for Washington, he had 45 receptions, 559 yards, and 5 touchdowns, 3 rush attempts for 30 yards, and an additional rushing touchdown.
So McMillan was part of that trio that Washington had of really good receivers that you knew all of these guys were NFL caliber receivers, but it's clearly Romo Dunze is the lead guy.
Sure.
And then there's these other two guys that are really solid as receivers as well. But are they really good college receivers? How high in the NFL could they potentially be? Obviously, people are moving Jalen Polk up as we just talked about. But it's funny because Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan got very, very similar scores for me. Now, they don't win the same way. Not they play all. Very, very different games. But they both were in the 69-point range. So with McMillan, I think he was solid as far as, like, release. His hands were real solid. He ran decent routes. I don't think I would call them great routes. But they were a little bit above average as far as route goes. Solid catch radius. And, like, that, I don't want to keep repeating myself because that's what it feels like. His entire thing is like, this is solid. This is okay. This is solid. This is okay. And that's what most of his profile feels like to me. The bummer is somebody of his kind of profile, I was hoping to see a little more burst, a little more speed, a little like something to make all of those other attributes more exciting. Because if he's solid at the catch point, if he's got solid release, but man, this guy can motor, like he can move. Now I'm pretty excited. But he was kind of just as far as his game speed
goes. He's fast enough.
and that's the thing, like
he's fast enough.
Just felt like it's good enough to be a good college receiver, but I don't know if it's good enough to really ever make an impact at the NFL level. So
yeah, NFL level is a big thing, because that's how I came away watching him as well. I was like, man, I have a hard time watching this and then seeing Jalen McMillan winning in the NFL.
Like, he was a slot guy 96% of the time.
Too, he was
almost exclusively.
Somebody on Twitter said today, like, hey, you should really watch this 22 film because he was hurt most of 23. I was like, oh, okay.
He did miss, I think, 4 or 5 games or something, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and maybe that had something to do with it. And I'm with you. It's like, oh, he's a nice, like, he does everything nice, but it's kind of like, man, like, that's not, like, if you got a good cornerback that's on him, like, he's not winning then. So, that's the problem. Like, I don't know how that's going to work in the NFL. When
he's going to be working against number twos and number threes, because that's what he's going to be. So, I mean, that's
a plus. Still, a number three, though, is like a high-end college quarterback. Though. That's the difference here. And that's what I'm kind of worried about with him. Because you're right. Like, he tested out pretty well. You know, I thought his vertical was kind of – I thought he had a bigger – for how big of a broad jump he had, I thought he had a higher vertical. That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Just everything else was really good. 37 inches is still – a lot.
Yeah, dude. How high did you?
If you're jumping broad jump like almost 11 feet, I feel like you're going to be over 40 inches. It's just me.
Yeah, he's an odd one. I don't know. I do think there's a little bit more there than I think you do.
Okay.
But because I thought his route running was pretty good. I thought he leveraged defenders pretty well. He's able to get open. Which
big hands.
Given the fact that he isn't the fastest guy. I think that kind of speaks a little bit to his route running ability. But I don't know. He's okay with the ball in his hands. He's not great, but I think he can do a little bit of do some stuff, make a guy miss occasionally. And I thought he fought through some arm tackles. So I think actually the run after the catch stuff might have been one of the higher grades I gave him. No, they're mostly just seven.
Yep.
Six and a half, seven and a half, six. Yeah. The ones I really knocked him on, you know, contested catch, because I didn't really see many.
No.
And then release, because he was 96% out of the slot. I had it lower, but then I watched the Oregon tape where he was getting pressed up for me. Yeah, he was getting pressed a bit. So I got it up to a six. I was like, okay, he got out of that pretty well. At least average, but before it was down quite a bit lower. So that's what I think pulled his grade up a bit, but he is very even keel and, you know, 7.5. I thought he was apparently quicker and had some good bursts, because I gave him some high scores there that might actually need to come down a bit. Because I don't think he was an 8. I put an 8 for burst, but he's getting open somehow. So I'm going to have to dig in on that, because it's either route running or he's got pretty decent bursts. So
he's going against a third quarter cornerback in college too, in the Pac-12. So
that is a good point.
I'm not going to take up airtime talking about him. Like, I just don't think he has much of a shot at being relevant. I gave him a 69, and usually that means I shouldn't worry about him. So
yeah. One of my least favorite prospects that I watched on tape, because again, I don't know how it, from a fantasy perspective, how he's going to win. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, he's likely going to be a third wide receiver on a team, right? That's
best case.
Or a fifth.
Okay.
That's best case.
All right, moving
Matt, on. What was your score on him? Sorry.
It was like a 71-ish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you like him a little more than we do.
Yep. It's your Tez Walker, baby.
He is my Tez Walker.
You like Jalen McMillan, then.
I do. He's my guy.
Okay.
All in.
I'm all in.
All in. Move over, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Peter, which one's my new tattoo?
What number was Jalen McMillan? Can't remember. Anyway, moving on. Xavier Weaver, Colorado wide receiver, 6'1¼", 169 pounds, 8 7/8 inch hands. 5 7/8 inch hands would be really problematic.
That would be very small. Real baby.
He was 175 at his pro day.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's good. Because 169 pounds is small. 31 1/8 inch arm, 73 1/4 inch wingspan. He's 23. He'll be 24 in October. At his pro day, he ran a 4.47 in the 40, a 4.3 in the 20-yard shuttle. He had a 7 flat in the 3-cone, 127-inch broad jump, 37-inch vertical. In 11 games last year at Colorado, he had 68 receptions, 908 yards, and 4 touchdowns, 2 rush attempts, 15 yards, and an additional 2 touchdowns.
Rich, I think I took yours last time, so you go ahead on Weaver, because this is our last guy, right?
This is our last guy?
Yeah, I accidentally took yours.
So Xavier Weaver out of Colorado. You know, it's some good things is I thought he had some good hands.
Yeah.
I thought he tracked the ball pretty well. I thought he was a pretty decent route runner. As well, I thought that was good there, and it really shows that he was a punt returner. Mm-hmm. It kind of shows, so like his field vision and his mm-hmm. overall field awareness, and
I think he's very good after the catch, and I think he's got great second level vision to be able to make guys miss and kind of do some things there. He's not gonna do much. I don't know if like you can't throw him a screen pass, you know, and get him in tight to close to the line of scrimmage, but like out there in open space is where he can do some damage
in open space. When mm-hmm. or if he's at least got to step on defensive back, like he's a very solid receiver. He's got mm-hmm. some good burst too, so sometimes he can get that extra step when needed.
Totally.
Which is nice. And so he does a lot of good things there. Remember, this is Xavier Weaver's an older prospect. He's 24 years old. He's gonna be 24 years old this season, so he's a little bit older, and he just falls into the category of Matt mentioned, like he said, his size is up, but like it doesn't matter to me because his tape shows me where his game weight is, and it just showed me again like a physical defensive back is totally gonna have his way with him. Right, it's even if it's like if it's close, like the defensive back will be able to box him out, right? They're gonna be able to like hold him out of the play field there. But he does do a lot of things nice. Like he's definitely a player that should make a roster. I can see him starting as a punt returner
for sure.
Yep. At the gate. I mean, I thought it was weird though watching his tape, like almost every snap he was just on the outside on the right side of the field. Every snap, like you just,
it was
right side,
yep.
Outside, on the right, same spot every time. And that was
your traditional Z guy.
Yeah. And that was all he did.
And that's what he is at the next level. Also, I feel like he's not a number one. He's not big enough to do that. And he's not dynamic enough. And he's got that go deep type of feel to him.
Mm-hmm. Him and Josh Allen be a good fit.
Sure. And he feels like a Jalen Hyatt type, right?
I think that's a fair comparison
from last year.
That's a good comp.
Yep, he's got the slight frame, more of a glider mm-hmm. when he runs. Like he's not gonna juke guys a ton. Just more, he's got that kind of a long stride, glides, makes things look pretty effortless. Like it's there's a smoothness to him. But you're right. I worry about any sort of physicality really messing up his game. And so it's one of those things where, hey, if he makes a guy, you know, if he gets off his release decently and he's got enough speed where he can make it happen and he can make big plays, but especially like I've seen a lot of these types of guys, and we'll talk about a few more even in the next show. But in the days of cover two, and it's with us having so many teams playing two safety high, it's really hard to get those kind of players the ball consistently. So that whole archetype for me, I think I'm struggling with this year because we've seen defenses more and more and more go into that. Like, we're not going to let Pat Mahomes beat us deep. We're not going to let Josh Allen beat us deep. We're not going to let, like, we're going to keep everything underneath. Yep. We're going to make them pick us apart. And eventually the league will adjust and the pendulum will swing the opposite way. It always does. There's these swings that happen, but in today's NFL, for the next few seasons, I really struggle with that type of player because we just don't see that player winning for our fantasy teams very often. I would much rather the slot profile than I would just the field stretcher because I don't know that they're going to get enough targets. I don't know that there's going to be enough plays. I don't like so that whole type. I'm struggling with a little bit
best,
right now.
Best ball guy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely best ball. And I feel like, but a counterpoint to that, I feel like a player like Xavier Weaver, though, if you're playing a too high safety, he's going to see some man. I think his route running and his vision's good enough where, like, if he can get that same thing, if somehow he faces the third defensive back, right? Mm-hmm. Or like the slot corner or something like that, the nickel. If he can get a step, get the ball. I think you're playing high safety. He's the kind of player that you'd want to help beat that defense where, like, he has the field vision. If he can get the step on the defensive back and he has the speed after that, he would have the vision to possibly beat the safety. Like the
potentially, but he always lines up on the outside. So that's the hard part.
And that is the hard. That would be the hard part too. So he'd have to be schemed for. Like, again, so now we're talking about a player to be schemed for. And Xavier Weaver is not going to probably get the draft capital. He's probably
not the draft capital.
It's just, and here we are arguing about Xavier Weaver. It's just, and that's the thing. He shows a couple things good enough. You're like, oh, this guy
belongs. For the record, I like him. I wish he kind of had a little bit more bulk to him, and
he's skinny.
Yeah.
What was his weight again in his pro day?
175.
175.
That's him trying to eat cheeseburgers for the pro day.
Well, he had to run that day and stuff too. That's so true. Tests.
So gotta eat those cheeseburgers. They're delicious.
Love a good cheeseburger.
So that was it, right?
Yep. That's it for this show. We'll be back tomorrow with our last six wide receivers. Wow. Another good group to talk about. If you've enjoyed these rookie breakdowns, you enjoy this show. The best way to support us is, you know, get out there and, you know, the free way is just leave it a rating review wherever you listen. You awesome. Know, iTunes, get down there, leave us a rating review. Helps the show out, gets the word out there, spreads it a little bit more, all the little algorithm that they do. And of course, join the Nerd Herd, get the tools, get the bonus content, get the Nerd Score that's about to drop here on Monday. Ooh. Get the film room so you're always ahead of the your league mates on these rookie classes. And of course you get the Dynasty GM when you're looking for the summer to be fulfilled and make the trades and to make Dynasty as easy as possible. The Dynasty GM's going to do just that. It's definitely, if you're in a lot of leagues, you know, I'm in 20 leagues. I have the GM. I couldn't live without it. Can't manage all my leagues. And it's also attached to Sleeper. So all your trades, the Dynasty GM, it's all in the app Sleeper when you're already in there. So we're back tomorrow. Can't wait to be done with the wide receiver class and talk about these guys.
Adios.